This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
In the words of President Trump, the U.S. was cocked and loaded for retaliatory airstrikes against Iran overnight after Iran shot down an unmanned U.S. drone on Wednesday. Trump tweeting this morning that he canceled the airstrikes at the last minute because it would not be proportionate to the shooting down of an unmanned drone. He said he was told that an estimated 150 people would die at the three sites that were going to be targeted in Iran. That drone went down in the Straits of Hormuz. The Pentagon called it unprovoked and irresponsible. Iran says it was in its airspace. The U.S. says it was in international airspace. Two explosions shake a major refinery in southwest Philadelphia. They happen at about 4 a.m. Hours later, a huge fire is still burning there. And this is USA Radio News.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt. After I left baseball, I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. So I got back into the game with Nugenix. I'm feeling stronger with a lot more energy and drive. You want to get back into shape? Get Nugenix.
All you have to do is send one simple text.
Frank's right. Just text FORCE to 321321 to get a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix samples are not available in stores. To get your complimentary bottle, text FORCE to 321321. That's F-O-R-C-E to 321321.
A Texas police officer killed in the line of duty, shot by a suspect late yesterday. Investigators say the unidentified Mission police officer had been waved down and told of a suspect who was brandishing a weapon. The suspect ended up firing on the officer, who died at a hospital. The suspect is now in custody. President Trump giving an exclusive interview to the Spanish-language network Telemundo, airing Thursday. The conversation included the president discussing his immigration policies, like the Obama-era Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, or DACA.
I revoked it because everybody said that Obama had no right to do it, but I didn't revoke it quickly. I said, let's make a deal. They were unable to make a deal. So now it's sitting before the United States Supreme Court. I am willing to do something with the Dreamers.
This week, President Trump indicated he wanted to begin the process of removing millions of illegal immigrants from the nation. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
USA News for your health. We are living longer here in the United States, and the information supported by raw data. The median age up. USA Radio's Chris Barnes with the numbers now from Washington, D.C.
New data from the U.S. Census Bureau shows the median age of the country's population is 38. Well, 38.2. To be exact, effective in 2018, up from 37.2 in 2010. It means half of the country's population is under the age of 38, and the other half is over the age of 38. The increase is due in large part to baby boomers who surpassed the 65-year-old mark, that age group increasing by 30% since 2010, while the under-18 population's been decreasing. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
A lawsuit filed in Connecticut involving transgender students in school sports programs.
Three high school track stars are suing because the state is allowing transgender girls who are still physically boys to compete against other high school girls. The three girls say this policy has cost them top finishes in several events and possibly college scholarships. Elias Defending Freedom is defending the athletes in a complaint filed with the Education Department's Office for Civil Rights. At least 17 states allow transgender high school athletes to compete without restrictions. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
For USA Radio News, I'm Robin Walensky.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Our top of mind and the things that matter to you. That's what Bill Martinez Live is all about. We come to you every Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, live, 6 to 9 Pacific. And for more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com or drop me an email. Always love to hear from you. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. We're going to be taking a look at charitable giving. Giving USA 2019 report says that Americans gave $427.71 billion to charity last year, amid complex, rather complex year, I should say, for charitable giving. And this is being reported by Giving USA Foundation and CEO of Dunham & Company. Rick Dunham joins us right now. Rick, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, good to have you here. You know, when you look at the generosity of Americans at large, I mean, here we are, $22 trillion in debt, you know, a government that's a bit dysfunctional. But, boy, the generosity of Americans, we're grateful for what we got, and we continue to be givers, do we not?
Absolutely. In fact, when you look at the every year, giving continues to climb. Obviously, it went down during the Great Recession, but it's recovered. Mm-hmm. And $427 billion is the most yet given in current dollars.
Yeah. What is it? What is it at the very heart of Americans that, you know, where they get satisfaction for giving so much?
Yeah, I think it goes to the very core of who we are as Americans, and we, unlike many other countries that depend heavily on the government to do so many things, we believe strongly in the independent, what we call the independent sector, mm-hmm. Charities that are providing social services and social good. And again, Americans are by far and away the most generous.
So you're going to tell me socialist countries don't give like we do?
The more socialist a government tends to be, the population tends to support charitable institutions, yes.
How can they? What's left?
That's right.
When you are in a governing body that relies on everybody else's money, there's never enough. And so what is left to give? But yet, these numbers that we're talking about, Rick, does this include, you know, on many occasions, Americans will be the first at a national disaster to help other countries. Does that include this kind of money as well, or is this just domestic charitable giving?
No. In fact, giving to international affairs often will be affected by major catastrophes overseas. So you have organizations. But this is counting charitable giving mm-hmm. to U.S. charities, and obviously we have a sector of that supports the international work that they do. So
right.
Think of the World Visions and Compassions mm-hmm. and the big charities like the Catholic Relief Right. That's all counted in these numbers.
Exactly. But when we have, you know, natural disasters that come into play, and there's lots of opportunities, Red Cross, that kind of deal that that we, you know, offer our charity to, you know, I'm just, again, you know, this is a time for us to consider just the giving nature of Americans and how much we do give, that even at $427 billion, there's some additional monies that is given for international relief, because, you know, it seems that this country, you know, with some of the media wants to, you know, they want to malign the giving nature of this country. And I think this is what is confounding to Main Street America, that doesn't deal with the politics. They don't get involved with it. All they do is, hey, they see a fellow human being in dire straits and in help. And, you know, but for the grace of God, go they. And they respond out of their giving heart, out of their faith and love of mankind. And they don't get involved in the politics of it. But yet they hear. And I think it's sometimes it bothers people in Main Street when they hear that people are ungrateful, or they look at they look at Americans in such a negative light when we've been so giving and helpful.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Giving represents about 2% of GDP, and it also in the independent sector itself, one out of 10 jobs in America is in that sector. So it's a very, because obviously there's other revenue that's coming in that's fee-based. So it's a very large part of who we are as America.
When you say it's about, you said 2% of GDP, is that reasonable? I mean, because, you know, people of faith, the standard they use is 10%, the tithe. And so against that measure, are we operating below standard, or are we right on?
No, and that's the other thing is that in terms of personal disposable income, again, it hovers right around 2% of that's given away, and that's the average. So obviously there are some that are giving much higher than that, others that are giving below that. About 55% of households contribute to charity in America.
Mm-hmm.
So it's obviously larger. It's a larger proportion than actually vote. So,
right.
I obviously the desire, and I know there's a lot of studies going on right now that are looking at how we can actually create greater generosity in America and grow the sector even more.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that what is missing sometimes is the anecdotal experience of people who give in terms of their level of happiness and fulfillment in life. You know, there's some great stories. I mean, I hear these all the time, and maybe that's the opportunity, Rick, that is out there, is that, you know, you got to spread the good word, you know, that, you know, givers are happier, that, you know, we've obviously, you know, for those, I say obviously, those that are connected with the Bible and understand, we are admonished that it's better to give than receive. And, you know, on the surface, you may wonder, you go, oh, is that really true, until you try it. And God always says, hey, look, test me. Go ahead. I can handle it. And when we do that, we find that to be the case. And, you know, and you have, as you say, the entire spectrum of people who are just incredible givers. You know, you look at the Gates, for example, what they have done and how they've rallied forces together to be extraordinary and radical givers on an international plane. You know, I use them as one example. You know, we were just talking about Letourneau family and how, you know, I heard anywhere from, you know, 85 to 90% of what he earned, he gave away. You know, so there's been those anecdotal stories of people who have been very generous throughout their life, and they still manage to be extremely successful.
That's exactly right. In fact, the top 2% of households in America give well over 50% of the amount that individuals give to charity.
Mm-hmm.
So it's obviously very significant.
Well, when you think about that, look at it through the lens, the argument right now of and the attacks on people of wealth right now. We hear that that class warfare that's going on. and how they're maligned. And, you know, God bless them that, hey, they're going to hold to their values and continue to give regardless of the anecdotal comments that come out in the media that attacks them because it's unfair that they have money and other people don't.
Yeah, and it's true. It's very significant when you look at the proportion that's given away by many people of high net worth.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Rick Dunham is with us. Our conversation will continue. Stay with us, America. We're coming on 15 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We are live.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Attention GCN Self-Reliance listeners. If you've ever wanted an emergency solar survival backup system but were waiting for prices too crazy to pass up, this will be the most important message you'll ever hear. Bill Hyde here, and I want to tell you about a huge sale with historically low prices on our PPX microgrid system that's going to let you produce an endless supply of electricity off the grid. The clearance price is a result of the historic flooding we're having here right on the east bank of the Mississippi. Because of the flooding, we've had to move a lot of our inventory to a temporary location, and rather than move it back to the warehouse, we thought we'd offer the system at a price that might seem unbelievable if you didn't know the floodwaters backstory. So here's what you should do right now. Check out the PPX microgrid system at myownpowergrid.com. That's myownpowergrid.com. Over $1,000 in great off-the-grid gear and a ton of bonuses too. And the best part? You're not going to pay $750 or $500, $300, or even $200. Go to myownpowergrid.com to learn more. That's myownpowergrid.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Attention. This is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123. 800-368-0123. That's 800-368-0123.
Looking for high-speed internet where you live but are out of reach of cable and fiber options? Look no further. High-speed internet is now available in your area. As your local authorized HughesNet retailer, Whole Home Connect makes it easy to get the high-speed internet you need with blazing fast speeds, unlimited data with no hard data limits, with built-in Wi-Fi for as little as $2 a day. Act now and for a limited time, get free standard installation and free equipment with HughesNet from Whole Home Connect. You'll enjoy internet service that lets you do more of everything you want to do online, like shopping, surfing, and staying in touch. Call Whole Home Connect and see for yourself why HughesNet is America's number one choice for satellite internet.
800-696-6902. 800-696-6902. 800-696-6902. That's 800-696-6902.
Your opinion really does matter. Bill Martinez live, without a doubt.
Just the way you like to hear from us. I am Bill Martinez, 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Well, amid a complex climate for charitable giving, American individuals bequest foundations and corporations gave an estimated $427.71 billion to U.S. charities in 2018. This, according to Giving USA 2019, it is the annual report on philanthropy for the year 2018. And here to tell us more about it, Rick Dunham. Rick is the chair of Giving USA Foundation and CEO of Dunham and Company. Giving USA, the foundation itself, for people that are hearing about you for the first time, explain a little bit of the mission, how you guys got started, and what you're trying to accomplish here.
Sure. The roots actually go back to the American Association of Fundraising Council that was founded back in the 1930s by a handful of consulting groups. Eventually became the Giving Institute, and the Giving USA report was really started back in the 50s because there was no end report on philanthropy in America.
Mm-hmm.
So that over the years, it has grown, and the Giving USA Foundation is really a public service initiative of the Giving Institute. And the Giving USA Foundation publishes not only the Giving USA report every year, but also special reports on other parts of philanthropy. In fact, we did a report about 12 months ago that we released on giving to religion and kind of dove a little more deeply into some of the trends around giving to religion. Mm-hmm. So the foundation's really committed to helping people understand the role of philanthropy, the impact of philanthropy in America, and seeing the big picture of not only where philanthropy is coming from, but also how it's being used in America.
So you're managing data, not dollars, right?
Yeah, we're looking very carefully. Our research partner is the Indiana University Lilly Family School of Philanthropy. We've been working together with them for over 10 years on this, and it's a very highly tuned econometric model of looking at the data and trying to understand exactly what's going on in America philanthropy.
Uh-huh. So overall, State of the Union, where we sit today, halfway through 2019, what are you saying?
Well, the reason why 2018, if I could put it into context, was so complex is we had the Tax Cut and Jobs Act at the very end of 2017 that raised the standard deduction and lowered the tax rate for many individuals. And as a result, we think there was quite a bit of giving that was pulled into 2017 because it had a better tax advantage.
Right.
In addition, there's the number of itemizers has dropped pretty dramatically because of the standard deduction going up from about 45 million itemizers down to probably about 20.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third thing is, if you remember at the end of last year, end of 2018, the stock market dropped pretty dramatically, which we think probably affected year-end giving.
Right.
So as we move into 2019, I actually think giving was fairly flat last year. I actually think we're going to see a return to more growth in giving in 2019. As long as the economy stays strong and the stock market, which is a leading indicator for giving, goes up, then I think we could have a fairly robust year in giving again.
You love the stock market, huh? It just gives us so much information when you see the Dow going up, right?
Yep, that's exactly right. Yeah. It's always been a leading indicator.
Well, it definitely gives us a sense of hope and some confidence in the economy, and certainly the enthusiasm factor with our economy, has been, quite robust and positive. And I'm hoping, like you, end of year, a very positive end of year as we continue. Hopefully, we don't do anything, we stay on course and stay true to those decisions that, promote growth and liberty in our country. I think we'd have a good forecast going forward.
I would agree with that.
You mentioned giving for religion. Review that for us. How is that looking?
The way we look at giving to religion, there's this thing called the NTEE code, and what that means is the National Taxonomy for Exempt Entities, which are charities. Giving to religion, the way it's defined in that code, is giving to houses of worship,
mm-hmm.
giving to religious media, which would be radio and television, and giving to denominational headquarters, that kind of giving.
Right.
So that's specifically what we're looking at, and that's been as a, it's always been the largest part of the pie in giving, but it's been going down as a percentage of the whole. So back in the 80s, it was well over 50% of all giving was giving to religion. Today, it's right at 29%, but still the largest. In fact, it's over double the next largest piece of the pie, which is education. Mm-hmm. So the challenge in looking at that, though, is, as we all know, that giving to religion it goes beyond just houses of worship and the NTE code. So if I can give you an example, if people donate to the Salvation Army, under the code, that's seen as giving to human services, not okay. giving to religion.
Mm-hmm.
But yet many people will give to the Salvation Army as kind of a religious exercise, if you would.
Right.
Same thing with giving to World Vision. If people give to World Vision, that's really under international affairs. Or if people
support
a Christian college, that it goes under education. So giving to religion is much bigger than what's just recognized under that category because it's so narrowly defined.
So you can't necessarily look at the numbers and say, well, churches, tithing to churches is down because of this number, because that may not necessarily be the case because of the way the designation has maybe altered over the period of time. Is that what you're saying?
No, what I'm saying is that there's giving outside of the local church that's not recognized under giving to religion because of the way the code is set up.
I see.
But what I would say is that giving generally to churches has continued to decline, mainly because of the demise, but the downward trend in mainline denominations, and we also have a lot of denominational splits like the Episcopal Church. The crisis within the Catholic Church has dampened giving a bit. So I think giving generally to religion and to houses of worship have, and we've also got fewer people actually attending religious services today. And there is a direct correlation, the research shows, between attendance of religious services and giving. So that's why I think all of that depressed a little bit.
Well, that's interesting. So what are the numbers in terms of, you say that there's been a reduction in church attendance. Do you have a number on that?
No, there's a lot of studies out there. I think Lifeway has done some. I know the Lake Institute at the Indiana University has done some. That shows that the mainline denominations are seeing a decrease. In fact, there is, in our special report on giving to religion, I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but almost all the mainline denominations are seeing flat to negative growth.
Mm-hmm. Going back at the looking at the 2018 charitable giving, individuals, we had a little decline, about 1%, right?
Right, and that's part of the reason, again, is the complexity, because if indeed people pulled they're giving back into 2017 because of a better tax advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And if the stock market affected that year in giving, then yes, the amount given by individuals dipped slightly. But I think I think we're going to see, I'm not a prophet or son of a prophet, but I think what we're going to see is, a growth in individual giving in 2019.
Right, because you don't have those external factors in play this time around. At least there's no forecast of that, and I'm not a prophet either when it comes to anything that has to do with the government. And foundations were up a little bit. Foundation giving, huh?
Yeah, foundation giving was up significantly, and that's because giving to foundations in 2017 hit a record high of about $45 billion.
Wow.
We fully anticipated that to go up, giving from foundations to go up in 2018.
And meanwhile, corporations remain robust as well, right?
Yeah, and that really tracks with the economy. So with 5.2% growth in GDP, you would expect corporate giving to go up.
Well, Rick Dunham, we appreciate the time and all the information. If people would like more information, how can they be in touch with the Giving USA Foundation?
They can go to givingusa.org, and they can find all sorts of information reports there.
He is the chair of Giving USA Foundation, CEO of Dunham Plus Company. Rick Dunham on Bill Martinez Live. Rick, thank you so much. Take care.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill.
Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable. And save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. That's 800-405-2561.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
In the words of President Trump, the U.S. was cocked and loaded for retaliatory airstrikes against Iran overnight after Iran shot down an unmanned U.S. drone on Wednesday. Trump tweeting this morning that he canceled the airstrikes at the last minute because it would not be proportionate to the shooting down of an unmanned drone. He said he was told that an estimated 150 people would die at the three sites that were going to be targeted in Iran. That drone went down in the Straits of Hormuz. The Pentagon called it unprovoked and irresponsible. Iran says it was in its airspace. The U.S. says it was in international airspace. Two explosions shake a major refinery in southwest Philadelphia. They happen at about 4 a.m. Hours later, a huge fire is still burning there. And this is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
Oh, you needn't have worried. I trust your taste implicitly. Thank you.
Bill Martinez, live.
I'll tell you, it's maybe America's taste that we trust, but the mainstream media is not doing us any favors, especially when it comes to the latest antics of leader Nancy Pelosi, who last week turned the world of fiscal discipline on its head with her threat to throw the federal government into default. Tea Party president and founder Jenny Beth Martin is with us right now. Jenny Beth, how are we doing?
I am great. It's so good to be with you, Bill.
Always good to have you here to keep us, keep us aware of what's going on. The mainstream media has let this one go by the wayside. I mean, this is hugely significant, what the speaker is putting into play here.
It really is. Normally, when we have a debt ceiling increase, one of two things happens. Either they will do a clean debt ceiling increase, so they just increase it and they don't attach anything to it at all,
mm-hmm.
or they use the debt ceiling they'll increase the debt ceiling, but they offset the extra borrowed money with spending cuts somewhere else in the budget. Usually, spending cuts that will happen in the future. What Speaker Pelosi is saying right now is shocking, actually, because she's saying, I will only raise the debt ceiling if we get rid of the spending caps and we agree to increase spending rather than decreasing spending. It's completely out of the ordinary. It really does turn the world upside down, and the press seems to be just letting her off and letting that comment slide.
Well, again, we come at the crossroads. This is the thing that we can be thankful for Donald Trump for, is that he has exposed the left for who they are. Nancy Pelosi, out of her desperation right now and her lack of leadership, has to do this. And clearly, I mean, it's not opinion anymore. It's not just a symptom. It is what it is. The Democrats want to spend this country into annihilation. We're $22 trillion in debt. There's no fiscal responsibility, nothing that they're offering to say, hey, look, we need to get a handle on this. All we hear from the Democrats continuously is we just don't have enough money. We need to tax more. We need more money. I mean, that, to me, that is a clear message that they continue to put forth to the electorate. And when is the electorate going to wise up to see that, look, they want to spend more of your money. They want to murder more of our babies. They want to keep the borders open. They want us to enter into more globalism and technocracy because that fits their agenda, not necessarily the benefit or the agenda of the American people.
That everything you just said is correct. And that's their real platform. They don't talk about it that way, but that really is what they are doing. They talk about it differently. They talk about it in terms of choice and women's health care and student debt forgiveness and free, different things that they say are going to be free to different groups of people. But the fact is, it costs money. And the more that the government gets involved, the more expensive things become. And generally, the problems get worse. Mm. We can look at the city of Los Angeles. I was out there last week, and their homelessness in the last year has increased. They have a commission that goes through and counts the number of homeless people, and the number of homeless people have increased, and they've increased the amount of money to deal with the homeless situation in Los Angeles, and now they think they need to increase the money even more. Mm-hmm. Just throwing money at things does not solve the problem, and oftentimes it actually makes problem worse.
It exacerbates it clearly. I mean, history would tell you that's the case. You throw money at it, you get more of what you had.
Right. And you wind up giving the wrong kind of incentives and the wrong kind of accountability and metrics. So if somebody's job depends on their I'm kind of getting off track.
But I understand what you're saying. You know, Jenny Beth, my first question is, who in this country has a handle on homelessness right now? Is there any state that you're aware of that has a handle on it?
We don't hear about the homeless problem in some other states. We don't really hear about that, like in Texas. We've got the border situation in Texas. So
right.
But the state is growing economically. People want to move there. They are able to get jobs. They're able to work. They're able to pay their taxes. Their taxes are much more affordable than in other parts of the country. So there are places that don't seem to have the same kind of problems that Seattle and San Francisco and Los Angeles have.
No, it's horrendous. And I just got back there, you know, several weeks ago myself. I agree with you. It was heartbreaking. I mean, this is my old hometown. I mean, I worked in Los Angeles for many years at radio stations there in town. And I mean, I'm traveling the 101 freeway, the 101, you know, through downtown that I went through many times. And people, you know, tents are up on the bridges over the freeway. I'm thinking, oh, my God. I mean, before it was, relegated to an area in Los Angeles. And now it's all over the place. And they had quite a homeless camp next to Angel Stadium in Orange County. And they moved them out, put them in hotels for a little bit until they could block the area to discourage them from going back to that area. Because, you know, you got the Angel Stadium there. They didn't want a bunch of homeless people right there as people are going to the ball game, right?
Right, exactly. And, you know, tying it all together, the fact is the more the government grows, the more the government gets involved and takes over people's lives, oftentimes the worse their lives become, not mm-hmm. better. And it might be better momentarily, like they might get a little blip in their life because there's been some sort of relief to them from the money, but if they aren't earning it themselves, and learning how to take care of themselves, they wind up still being in a problem again later. In
exactly.
Nancy Pelosi, Speaker Pelosi, as she says, well, we want to increase the debt limit and we want to increase spending, that is going to continue that kind of problem in our country. What we need to be talking about is how do we help people be more independent and less dependent on the government?
Yeah, teach them to fish as opposed to feeding them. You're exactly right, Jenny Beth, and the question that is begging to be asked with any kind of increase in the budget is what is it going to do? How is it going to add to solving the problem? And can we hold those dollars accountable to where over a specific period of time we start to move the needle? Because time and time again, we're spending the people's money and things are getting worse. They're not getting better. I mean, war on poverty, for example. You know, 1964, LBJ signs the War on Poverty Bill. We spent, $23 trillion, I guess, $24 trillion now? Poverty was at 15% back then in 64. We're at 15.1%, $24 trillion. What kind of investment is that of the people's money?
We're not getting a good return on the money. And the thing about the debt ceiling is this. It's a vote that the people in Congress don't like to take because they're kind of embarrassed because they know they're borrowing more money. So it's a vote that is our ability as citizens to hold them accountable. And it comes along probably once every 12 to 18 months at this point. And what Speaker Pelosi is doing is there's no shame in borrowing the money. It's like, well, let's borrow the money and spend some more rather than let's borrow the money and try to figure out how we're going to get this fiscal house in order.
Yeah, I mean, and with the threat that she's offering, I mean, she's holding the country. She thinks she's holding the Republicans hostage, but in effect, she's holding the country hostage, is she not?
She's holding not just the country hostage, she's holding our children and our grandchildren hostage.
Right, exactly.
At some point, we're going to have to pay. It's real money, it's real debt, and at some point, somebody is going to pay for this.
Well, but the fact that this is, you know, a generational issue, as you say, because we're passing it off to our kids and our grandkids, and now we're into our great-grandkids. How embarrassing is this?
It is terrible, and it's something that we need to really call her out on and continue to call all of Congress out on so that we can get to a point where we're working towards balancing the budget once again.
Got to keep the phone calls coming. Where can they go to get in touch, Jenny Beth? We got about 8 seconds.
TeaPartyPatriots.org.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
This message is sponsored by AmeriGlide, featuring the nation's best prices on a home stairlift. Are you having a difficult time getting around your home? Do you avoid going up and down the stairs? Have you even considered moving from your lifelong home just to avoid the stairs? Forget about moving and call AmeriGlide and learn how an easy-to-install stairlift is the perfect solution to help you get your freedom back. Plus, we guarantee the nation's best prices. Make this free call today to learn more. No sales visits are necessary. We can help you over the phone. Now you can stay in the home you've been in for decades. Please do yourself or your loved one a favor. Make this simple 2-minute call right now. Get the lowest price on a stairlift anywhere. Here's the number. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. That's 800-296-1434.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-506-6740. 800-506-6740. That's 800-506-6740.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. And we've got, yes, the Cajun Crusher. He's going to break it all down for us. You know, these fake polls, they are back again, Jeff. What do you say?
You know, it's great to be with you, Bill. And I just harken back to 2016, and I remember all the experts saying Donald Trump would never be elected president. Mm-hmm. And this is sort of familiar territory. Once again, they're out with their fake polls. And I don't believe them, Bill.
Well, it's still so early, Jeff, and again, you know, you look at him. I mean, let's go back. This report, you know, that I looked at here this morning, it said June of 83, Mondale 49%, Reagan 39%. In June of 91, George H.W. Bush, you may recall, 51%. Democrats were 28%, and they didn't know was 21%. In June of 95, you had Dole at 48, Clinton at 44. And June 2011, Republicans were 44% over Obama's 39%. Now, we know how all those came out. So, yes, time and again, we look at what polls tell us. Polls give us a snapshot of what it is today. And, of course, you know, when it involves Donald Trump especially, we're not going to be given, you know, straight answers. I mean, as someone said, if it's not a thumb, it's an elbow on the scale, you know?
Well, and the thing about Donald Trump is I don't think the polls accurately reflect his support. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a segment of his support base that is not really comfortable telling pollsters their position on Donald Trump.
And I agree. Yeah.
You see the media so negative and so hateful about Trump. I think some of his supporters are reluctant to tell the pollsters, don't even participate in the polls. So I don't think it's accurate. We didn't see accurate polls in 2016, and I don't think we see accurate polls this time. What I look at, Bill, Donald Trump is launching his campaign. You know, 150,000 people wanted to go.
Right.
And then I look at Eric Swalwell. He had a rally outside NRA headquarters, and 18 people show up.
Right.
So.
No, and well, and even Joe Biden, you know, they want to make a big deal about Joe Biden. What do you have, a couple hundred people at his announcement? You know, yes, he's got some money that backed him up since, and, you know, the polls would indicate he's such a front runner. But, you know, he's got a major you know, mission ahead of him in getting through 23 other would-be Democratic presidential candidates. And at a time that is so much different for the Democratic Party than when he first entered in some 50 years ago, right?
Yes. Well, they're much further to the left. Mm. He's going to try to transition to say that he's progressive. He's changing policies as we go. He changed his position on the Hyde Amendment. He's trying to move to the left. And I think a lot of them are not going to view Joe Biden as being authentic. And I think he's going to really have a hard time in these primaries. I don't think he's going to survive. I don't think he's going to be the nominee. I really don't.
I'd be surprised, frankly. I'm with you on that because, you know, as you mentioned, authenticity, this has been his problem. I mean, going back to, you know, plagiarizing, and then here he is.
Right.
He gets caught again already twice. and you know, and wait a minute, you just can't change your spots. You are who you are. And, you know, so he will destroy himself before anybody else has to take a shot at him.
I think you're exactly right. I think he is weak. I think he's trying to limit the number of events to try to limit his gaffes. Remember, mm-hmm. he makes a lot of gaffes.
Yes.
So he is, he's trying to coast in, and I don't think that's going to work with these 23 other Democrat candidates. So we'll see how the debates go. That's going to be interesting, Bill, when you have two of these big debates with 10 candidates each.
Right.
I think a lot of them are going to be going after Biden.
Well, without a doubt, and especially you've got, you know, at least, three, if not four, of the majors in the same sectional that he's in.
Right.
Elizabeth Warren's by herself with everyone else, and she's got a lot of momentum and wind at her back right now. And, you know, and of course, with all the enthusiasm for the left wing of the party, I mean, she's the standard bearer, and, you know, she should look really good unless, but I don't see her. I don't see her stepping on herself. I mean, I think she could even crack open another beer and still be okay.
Well, she's got the bona fides to be this progressive, potential nominee because she's been preaching that same sort of message for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kamala Harris could catch fire. I mean, she's sort of lingering in third or fourth place in some of the polls I've seen. And then you've got Bernie. I don't see Bernie getting it either, Bill. I really don't. I think he is too old. I don't think he's going to be able to excite the same kind of passions that he did 4 years ago. I don't see that happening for Bernie either.
Who do you think ends up with it?
So I think we're looking at maybe one of the two women, either Kamala Harris or Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth Warren. And how do you think they fare in the general?
I think Trump wins. I mean, I think Donald Trump, well, for one, we know history. It's always hard to beat an incumbent.
Right.
And two, it's always hard to beat an incumbent when the economy's good.
Exactly.
So we've got some things, and now the president's got a real campaign. He's got real money. He's got organization. I mean, he's so far ahead of where he was 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, and effectively, he has been able to handle the fake news media. He has pounded away at them. He's not allowed them, unlike the Bush administration, which allowed the mainstream media to identify and form and fashion his presidency. Trump's not about to let that go, and he has kept the fake media at bay, even with the most recent, 2-day visit with George Stephanopoulos.
Bill, why does he do that? I think for
Muse, I think who was it had said that he thinks that sometimes Donald Trump is like you know the guy with a laser light and just bounces it off the wall to watch the cats you know just bounce themselves off the wall. I think he does that you know for amusement and you know and the thing is look what drove him nuts you know and I said you know Donald Trump was being honest. He wasn't being a politician. You see, a politician would have answered Stephanopoulos' question about whether or not he'd take a phone call from a foreign country. A politician would have said, absolutely not. I'll turn the phone call over to Christopher Wray, you know, and let the FBI handle it.
Right.
Or whoever, you know. But I'm not going to handle it. I'm not going to touch it. That's what a politician would do. And then they would go ahead and take the call anyway. But they told you the lie, and then, you know, Stephanopoulos would have bought, yeah, right, good job, you know, you good answer, all that. Donald Trump is honest. He says, well, yeah, I might take the call, and I might turn it over to the FBI, it just depends, you know, wouldn't you? Well, yeah, wouldn't he? He did. I mean, Stephanopoulos did this. I mean, they made a career of Oppo research. What are you kidding me?
They never probe Hillary about her using a British spy and Russian nationals to compile a dossier on Trump. So, I mean,
this whole deal is such a sham. I mean, they worked around it, you know, to take it outside of the country. What they did, they tried to do an end run around our laws. And at some point, Jeff, this is all going to come to the light, and it's going to be undeniable. I mean, as it stands right now, there are too many. I mean, just reason would tell you this thing stinks to high heaven, that this goes all the way into the White House, because even Stroke and Lisa Page said, oh, no, the president wants to keep up to date on this, make sure the White House is well informed on what's going on. Come on, you're going to tell me they didn't orchestrate this stuff? Come on.
Well, there's no doubt in my mind that Barack Obama orchestrated it, and he knew full well what was going on. And guess who else probably knew? Joe Biden.
Right, exactly.
If all of this is exposed, I think it's going to hurt Joe Biden again in his presidential campaign. And
exactly.
I hope you're right. I hope we do finally get some justice here, and all of this is exposed like it should be, because I think that can restore my confidence in our justice system. And I think a lot of people have lost confidence with the way this whole witch hunt has been handled.
Well, there's a serious cleanup that has to take place throughout the intelligence community, throughout our government, what they have done to Donald Trump, what they've done to the American people. They're wasting our time right now. Jeff, can you imagine if we had any bit of cooperation from the Democrats, and if we had our country close to being on track, where would we be at? Would we be looking at a 4% GDP? Would the whole China trade deal be behind us? The USMCA would be behind us, certainly. We'd have a trade deal with Japan. All these things would be behind us, but no, you know, they got to carry through, because there's no way that Nancy Pelosi, the Democrats at all, are going to give this president any kind of victory whatsoever.
And the only option for them is to just go after Donald Trump. I mean, that's the only interest they have, is just bringing down Donald Trump. They don't want to get anything done for the American people, which maybe leads to a good argument in the presidential election next year, to contrast what the president's done with the lack of work the Democrats have done.
Exactly. Well, and that's the deal. Well, the other deal is not only the lack of work that they've done, but, you know, they were sent to Washington to legislate, to, you know, to be about the people's business. And what have they done, Jeff?
Go after Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's it. And the thing is that going after Donald Trump is going against 63 million people that believed in Trump policies. And look what he's done. He's guilty of improving the economy, lowest unemployment that we've had in almost all of history, you know, the deregulation nation, you know, at every turn. I mean, Barack Obama would have died to have just one or two of probably a dozen incredible victories that this president has been able to accomplish in 2.5 years. Amazing.
On his own, Bill, on
yes.
his own, without yeah. any help at all, pretty much.
Right, and even sadly, you know, even from his side, the Republican
Definitely.
Party, because you've got the traditional Republicans that are still mind blown over why 63 million Americans said, we want this guy, we
yeah.
want an outsider, we don't want somebody from the Beltway to continue on in their ways that got us $22 trillion in debt, right?
You know, maybe if he wins re-election, they'll get the message. Maybe that's what it's going to take for these rhinos and these establishment Republicans to finally get the message of what the voters want in this country.
Jeff Cuellar, native New Orleans, and his award-winning program, Ringside Politics, which airs locally at 7:30 p.m. Fridays and 10 p.m. on Sundays on the PBS affiliate, WLAE-TV, Channel 32. Jeff, the Cajun Crusher, thank you so much for being with us, buddy.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you, Bill.
Take care.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Most of you know